the girlfriend.
Hi,
hello,
everyone.
Fraser Roo.
Yeah, do the Cabbage Patch, girlfriend.
I'm doing the Cabbage Patch. You can't see me do it, but I'm doing it.
I know. You have to trust me. You know what? I cannot not be made happy by that music. It has that bon chicka bon 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 chicka. Or as I like to say, brown chicken, brown cow,
yes.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And you're just saying, hey, yes, I love the Housewives. I'm cool with that. I'm a Bravo fan. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And, well, if you don't know us by now, we're Christine, Marie, and Julie. Mama, say that you, who are you? You're Christine.
I'm around here, they call me Mama.
And I'm her daughter, Julie. They just call me Julie.
Yeah.
I don't have a nickname.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart,
my muse.
We were trying to think about Stevie Handels and who would I be.
Yes.
And I was like, I have no idea. And then someone goes, you know, how about Stargazer? Because you like to look up at the stars.
Yes. And one person called in and said that I should be called Soft Shoulders.
Oh,
that kind of has that of a luscious feel to it, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, well, I just want to talk to all of our girlfriends tonight because we're going to have an awesome, fun show.
We are.
We took a break for about 3 weeks from having guests.
Yes.
We just didn't feel...
We just did our bit. You know, we
yes.
did the girlfriends, mama, daughter. We had fun, though. We had a lot of fun.
We did.
And we caused some controversy. People were like, you're talking about... What are you talking about? And we're like... Yeah, we're talking about that. Oh, yeah, we were talking about Anthony Weiner and how that now that they put Wieners in Twinkies.
It led to everything.
It led to everything, yeah.
And you can always imagine
what
that conversation led to. So if you missed us, check us out in our archives as we're working on updating our page and so forth.
Yeah, but bbsradio.com.
Exactly.
/ Life of the Girlfriends.
And so before we bring on our guest,
mm-hmm.
he's an awesome sales guy, and I can't wait to talk to him because I've got questions.
No, you don't.
Yes.
But you know what? I can't wait to talk to him. He's a fellow Python.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't know it, people, with the Peters last name.
Yes.
But before, Mama was a Peters. Mama was a D'Antonio. Christina, Maria, Teresa, D'Antonio from the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I love the fact that, you know, he talks about his children, and his children's names are Felicia and Giuseppe. And I'm like, those are Italian names.
Absolutely.
Greg, we're not so Italian.
Uncle Aldo and Bruno,
yes.
and Silvio and Ivo Giovanni, you know. So we're going to party.
We're going to party.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. I can't wait. And so I just want to say to all of our lovelies out there, to all of our girlfriends, we're going to have a great conversation because I know when we talk about sales, it seems like, okay, do I want to, you know, oh, I'm not good at sales. How can this help me? And yet the truth is sales is everything.
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 And it's the difference between, you know, making your life run easier or harder. And if we know a system in place, I'm curious where he's going to take where we can use his system and all the other areas of
and
our lives.
How does that song go? Like Proud Mary, we never take anything kind of.
We take it kind of slow.
Kind of slow,
or we can kind of take it kind of fast.
Yeah, we're going to make it easy, or we're going to
make it hard.
And speaking of easy, this week if you buy Christine Marie and Julie's Amazon number one best-selling book, The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation. Send us an email with the receipt from Amazon. Guess what we're going to give you?
What?
The audio version.
Yay!
For free.
Love it. Love it.
And you know, do you know the famous people that did the audio version?
Who was that? Who would that be, girlfriend?
Christy, Brie, and Julie.
Yes, that would be us.
So,
well, I think that Thomas also has an audio version. I'm wondering if he did his book as well.
Well, we'll have to ask him.
I'm going to ask him. So, if you're not done, if you're not tired of hearing us talk, you can definitely hear our book in audio, which I think is, honestly, that's how I get most of my books read now.
Yes.
Because I'm driving a lot.
Right.
And I love to read, but it's hard for my brain to calm down enough to put some time in. I realize I'm flipping over a lot of stuff back and forth when I read. So I think the audio version is always good.
Multitasking.
And so I'm going to bring on, Mom, are you ready for me to bring on our guest tonight?
Okay, do you have a little da-da-da?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, Thomas LaVecchia, and I know I'm hopefully I'm saying his name right. He's the author of The X Factor Selling System. The X Factor Selling System. I love it. The Sales Expert's Guide to Selling. And, you know, he's got his X Factor in here. And he talks about in his book a little story of how he got started and how he needed to kind of have his own system to start selling. And I want to hear more about how his story started. But Thomas LaVecchia, he's got an MBA. He earned his Master's of Business Administration from Farley Dickinson University and an undergraduate degree from Rutgers University, also very impressive.
Impressed.
And he's a 20-year veteran in the pharmaceutical and medical devices space. And he has recently published a book, yes, that we're talking about today, The X Factor. Yay! I love it. I love it. Love it.
I wonder if he knows Simon Cowell. Is that Simon Cowell in The X Factor? Or is that Howard Stern?
But I think The X Factor was produced by Simon Cowell. But I think totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different X Factor.
Yes, totally different. But like you said, and I'm sure Thomas will agree, everything is sales.
Exactly. Well, he's also the CEO of the X Factor Selling System. And it's a sales, training, motivation, and partner solutions company. You know, he lives in New Jersey. I wonder if he has an accent with his wife.
He's a New Jersey boy?
He is.
Oh, my God.
And his two lovely kids. So, Thomas, are you on the line right now?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, ladies.
Ah, you're welcome.
Well, Thomas, I can't wait to start asking you some questions because the first thing I want to talk about, too, later on is just this idea that we know that small businesses really push the economy, but we also know that most small businesses fail. And I really do believe the difference between failing and succeeding is probably a good sales system like yourself. So I kind of want to talk about that later on as well, how all of us who have the entrepreneurial spirit could really use a good system to selling. And we're always afraid to ask for that. We always think it's like, oh, either you're a good salesman or you're a bad salesman.
Or you don't want to be pushy.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this. Do you think you're born a good salesman or is it something that you can learn?
Great question. So, again, thanks for having me. And the question is both. So some people do have a natural ability to sell and interact with people. That's a very small portion of the ability to succeed. It really comes with the training. So you have to really be trained. And think about it from baseball, right? You might be able to throw a ball, you know, 90 miles an hour, but you might have to throw a curve or change up and have different type of skills that you learn. So really, salespeople are not just born. Frankly, they're made. And if you're not born a salesperson, you can still be a great salesperson, and that comes with training and repetition.
Well, that's good to know because I always say that I'm not the best salesperson. I would love to be, and I think it could be very useful, and I work on it all the time. So, you know, I want to say, Thomas, how did you become, you know, this business career consultant that you are?
Absolutely. So I was in the corporate space for a number of years, and I worked as a sales leader, and I would see people succeed. I see, you know, for example, if I had 20 people on my team, I would see maybe the top two do really well, and I would see the bottom two not do really well. And I always wondered, what was the difference between the two? And their earnings was substantial, sometimes a few hundred thousand dollars more between the top and the bottom. So I kind of said to myself, what's the difference? And that's how the X Factor was born. I noticed certain people succeeded, not just in sales, but in other parts of their life, when they were able to truly understand their partners, their customers, their family's motivating factor in any given situation, and it makes it easier to influence the person across the table.
That's a great point what you just said there. Mm-hmm. It is understanding the motivation of the person that you're doing business with, or in any situation, that can really help with success in that relationship.
Yeah, and really that really is the, as I'm hearing you, and to me that's like the penultimate of customer service, to really understand, you know, what your client wants deeply, and then to be able to provide that, you know, that is truly awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And just think about a time when you have a conversation, a meaningful conversation with someone, and you wish they would say this or you wish they would do that. Or, for example, you'd be willing to be swayed in a certain way if they got you to a certain point and they're just horribly off or horribly wrong. And it's not that you feel bad for them. They're just not in tune with what you need. I'll give you an example. People sell all the time, and they always assume it's about price. Price only comes into play about 25% of the time. Think about it. If it's about price, every cheapest product or least expensive product in each category would win the category. That's not the case. Price very often is not the motivating factor. People always assume that. So it's really other factors, and that's what we talk about in the book.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Cool. Very cool. So what other types of advice do you give your clients looking to better their careers or businesses?
Well, you have to have passion in everything you do. I tell a great story about how Harry Frazee owned the Red Sox, and he literally sold Babe Ruth's contract to finance a play. And it was the worst move in sports history, probably caused 70 years of heartache for folks in the Boston area. And he wasn't passionate about sports, and he wasn't passionate about his craft, and it cost his city dearly for almost 100 years. My point being is, number one, find out what you're really passionate about, at what motivates you, and then work in that space, and then you'll never work a day in your life.
That's so true. You know, it's like being in the zone, right? So, Thomas, when you were starting out, did you have any, who were the mentors that you liked to read or, you know, go to their seminars?
Yeah, I had some great mentors in my career, but also more notable, I would follow Zig Ziglar quite often. I like Jeffrey Gitmer, who's pretty well known in the sales space. And again, Tony Robbins, obviously, a lot of people know, because I really believe that, although I don't necessarily believe in motivational speakers, because people, you can't have somebody else motivate you. You have to motivate yourself. But if somebody mm-hmm. is a good motivational speaker, they will be an accelerator. So I look for people that accelerate me, not just motivate me, because I can only motivate myself or not. But if
you're
I find somebody who's motivating, they would accelerate me to reach my goals. And that's what I try to do whenever I speak to anybody, find out what their X factor is and their goals and try to accelerate mm-hmm. them to that point.
Oh, I love it, because now that I mean, the X stands for many things, but it stands for accelerate. That's so cool.
Exactly.
That's
what we're saying. Actually, we'll start pinning that
yeah.
today. Let's copyright it.
Let's do it, baby.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
And, you know, we talk about, Thomas, we talk about, Christy and I, about this idea, you've got to know your whys behind everything you do, and your whys, your purpose, your motivation. And without that, you're right, and your passion, it's hard to get things completed, because, you know, it's easy to start something, it's easy to start a business, it's easy to start, I'm not saying easy, but it's kind of easy. It's a little easier than to maintain it and to get you through the hard times. And without that passion or that motivation, it's hard to get to continue to make the calls and to figure it out. So it's almost like you're saying you need motivation for yourself, and you also need to find the motivation of your clients as well.
Especially if you didn't, let's say you start, you know, the starting gate, you know, and you don't set the world on fire. So, but you need to have that stick-to-itiveness, and you want to get better, and you want to get, more educated, but. It is kind of tough. Sometimes you see people who are like, wait a minute, I kind of think that I'm maybe smarter than them, or I'm putting there, and they're like, you know, a couple $100,000 a year ahead of me. You know, what gives you that gravitas to keep going?
Well, in the book we discuss, and this has been my experience, that people are motivated by four things. We call it the four P's. It's people, product, process, and then lastly price, because there are price motivated people. So whenever you're, launching your career, your business, you got to define which P defines you. So, for example, you guys are in radio. I'm also in a consulting business, but part of my consulting is obviously I have a book. Now, you don't really make a lot of money on a book, and that's known, and that's okay. But for me, the recognition is important in order to help me get new clients. The recognition is important in order for me to help establish me as an authority, so I can go ahead and coach people and I can help more people, not just expand my business, but help people achieve their goals. So for my endeavor, for my book, I would be people-centric or recognition-centric. Now, if I'm looking to sign a contract for, let's say, digital marketing next week, and I'm looking to optimize that, it may be financially motivated for me to get a better price from my customer, therefore I'm price-motivated. That's why it's the X factor. I'm one person, but the X is variable, and it changes in any given situation. So you need to find out what motivates you, which we talked about. And number two, whether you're a CEO, whether you're an employee, whether you're a mom, you're a daughter, whichever it is, you need to find out what the motivating factor, or which P, other four P's, is motivated by the person you're dealing with. And then once you identify that, you work to simulate it, and then you can close for your agenda. Sales is something you do every day, whether you're getting a 2-year-old to go on the potty, whether you're trying to convince your significant other that you want to go for, you know, martini night with the girls, whatever it is, closing a client for a $100 million sale. It's all derived from the same motivating factors, and that's one of the four P's.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I know you talked about that. You're not really into motivational speakers, or because you have to. It's more like accelerators, and I love that term because you're right. You have to be internally motivated. You have to know your whys, your inspiration, to get going on that. So, but do you, when you work with your clients, do you do like the motivational stuff or the spiritual side? Do you have them do mantras? Do you believe in that stuff?
We do. I mean, every company that matters, and it's really about mattering and being relevant. And you have to have a mission statement and a vision statement. So there are different aspects to our consultancy. We do marketing and sales for companies, but we also, that's where we do motivation and important solutions. So part of our services is we come in and do sales training. And very often during the sales training, I talk about motivation. And I tend to hopefully accelerate some people's careers, not just by showing them what to do, but showing them to look inside themselves, dig down deep, and to really accelerate not so to say the spirituality from maybe a religious standpoint, but maybe from a point where they align to their goals to help their family, to help their friends, and maybe even get more religious, whatever their endeavor is. So it's not limited by one scope. And we do motivate some great folks, and I probably do about 2 to 3 talks a month based off of just accelerating people's motivations.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, you're kind of accelerating my motivation right now.
Me too.
So to all the lovelies out there, pick up on our vibe and feel your own motivation be accelerated tonight. And, you know, if you were going to give one person a tip today on how to kind of stoke that flame or turn, if it's like a burner, turn it up a little bit, what would you tell someone?
You should probably write down what you want your next year to look like, your next 5 years to look like, and then maybe your next 20 years to look like, God willing, right? So with that being said, once you identify what your goals are, you need to do 3 things. And I would write this down. You do DG, CA, and EA. The DG is your desired goal. So your desired goal would be X. So you need to say, okay, here's my goal, not just kind of your goal you want to have, but your truly desired goal that's going to really make you whole, keep you happy in your career, personal life, et cetera. So you write down that desired goal. Number 2 is CA. That's consistent or congruent action. The reason why I bring that up is, let's just say you say, well, I want to be on the number one radio station, you know, traditional radio or you know, XM or whatever it is, in 3 years, and you miss dates now for your show, or you're not always on, or you do reruns. If you're not consistent or congruent with that action, you're never going to succeed. And the last is excellent always. So whether you're on internet radio, whether you're on terrestrial radio, whether you're just sitting with a megaphone outside outside an apartment, whatever you do, just be excellent at it at all times, and you'll achieve that goal. So just make sure you have that desired goal, yet you're consistent and congruent with your actions, and then lastly, be excellent at every step in the way, and that's how you'll achieve that 1, 5, or 20-year goal.
I need to tell you something, Thomas. You are so on track with this. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast. I had heard somebody say, oh, this podcast's really great. I go, okay, I'll take a listen to it. And I picked the first episode or the most recent episode. And the first thing it was, and it was 2 comedians, and the first thing I heard was, oh, this so-and-so is late again. You know, he'll be popping in any minute now. And even though we are planned for the show, everyone, we're ready for the show, but so-and-so is running a little late. I thought, it's a podcast, you know, start a little later. And the first thing I thought was, you know what, so far, I'm not digging it. Mm-hmm. And you may only have one time with a person for them to fall in love with you or enjoy it. And I know that sometimes it's hard to be excellent all the time. It's just, for whatever reason, I know that Mom and I, sometimes the shows that we plan out word for word sometimes are not our best shows.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that we really just, we're doing it because we're passionate in the zone.
Yes.
Turn out to be really.
So I know there is that balance of trying to figure that out. But intention is everything. If you intend to do your best that day, show up.
Yeah.
Be consistent with your behaviors. Over time, things look good. So those three things, awesome for motivation and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you believe, though, Thomas, that, you know, in the old days when sort of I was growing up, people just somehow, quote unquote, got discovered. You know, somebody saw something in them, but it seems like the people that I admire nowadays are like, oh, that ain't gonna happen, kiddo. You know, you gotta make your own. Nobody's gonna discover you. Gotta discover yourself. Where do you stand on that?
Well, there's some data. I mean, if you follow Malcolm Gladwell, and also there's some thought that it was easier maybe during, let's say, the 50s, if you were in construction or if you were an immigrant or if you were, you know, against all odds because it kind of forced you to be better. But the truth is, back then and even now more so, there's an expression, and people vary the years they use, but I always say it takes about 20 years to be an overnight success. So a lot of times you don't see the failures. You start to see the results. And then by the time you become recognized, people say, wow, I could have did that. I could have did that myself, and I could be the one making the money. I can tell you this. When we first started this endeavor for the book, and when we first started this endeavor for our company, I heard no a lot more than yes. And I'm still hearing no. But people see that we have a book, and we do well on Amazon, and we're doing another version hopefully soon, which will hopefully, you know, rise to the next level, getting on the New York Times list, hopefully. But with that being said, we didn't just get on. We did talks where nobody showed up. We did talks where people walked out. I mean, it was really hard, and we're still in the kind of the earlier part in our career here in terms of launching a new company. But we advanced tremendously. But in the beginning, it was really rough. And it's still going to be rough, but it's going to be better next week. It's going to be better next year. And it's going to be better next 3 years. We believe in what we call the ladder strategy, right? I think it was Martin Luther King said, don't worry about where this, and I'm paraphrasing, forgive me, but don't worry about where this staircase is going to bring you. Just worry about the next step. So I'm not worrying about 5 years from now. I'm just worrying about our business now. I'm launching about making the book successful and hopefully motivating some people in the process.
Totally awesome.
Yeah, and you can't get to that three-year mark without doing all the other stuff ahead of it.
You know,
you just can't get there.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching some show last weekend. The girl from that game show, Hollywood game show?
I know, I can't.
Jane,
think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was talking to Molly Shannon, and she said, oh, my good friend Molly Shannon from the salad days when we did everything for free and for fun. And, you know, you really listen, you know, the subtext is, you know, yeah, we just don't, they're not an overnight success. Yeah, it was maybe 10, 15, 20 years in the making, and there was a lot of that free stuff that, you know, it just seems like, in we've been doing this for probably 4 or 5 years, but in the beginning, it was, you know, it just was totally free. And even now, it still is to some extent, but it just seems to be that is the way of the world right now.
I agree, and I feel like this is a open forum, so I'll give you something that was very near and dear to our business. So when we officially started about a year ago, we wanted it to be the Tony Robbins of sales, and we will be, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we found out when we launched,
I agree. We totally
launched, we were looking at, you know, being motivational speaking. We wanted to be just focusing on sales training and kind of being the more provider to help you get there. And the downside is a lot of small business owners and even medium-sized business owners found it to be very esoteric. They're like, well, I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't taste it. And I actually worked in the medical device space where if you trained a doctor to get a 10% higher close rate, they would make $300,000 a year. But for some reason, they weren't willing to spend the $5,000 a day to get there. So we decided to change strategy. We were doing a lot of social media. That's how we promoted our book. So people started knocking on our door and saying, hey, can you do our social media? Hey, can you do our website? Hey, can you do our SEO? And so we started a digital marketing arm of our firm, and now it makes up for 80% of our business. So although you want to follow your passion and although you want to follow your goals, you also have to follow the money. So I'm still passionate about delivering success to my customers. I'm just doing it in a different way. So always be static in, you know, your wants and dreams, but really be variable in your approach. So that was one thing we learned early on, and we're getting very heavily involved with the digital marketing space, and now we're in the process of integrating it all together as one full-service company. So although we're not where we need to be yet from a financial perspective, we're a lot better than where we were because people really found the training to be esoteric, but digital media is something they could touch. You know, hey, you delivered me a website, or hey, you brought some you know, customers in. So we changed a little bit in terms of our approach, but they yield dividends. So you follow your heart, but you got to be realistic and follow the money, too. So,
yeah.
You know, you are
so exciting.
Yeah, and you're an example of the A-20 principle.
Yeah, you are.
Totally. I mean, you figured out what was working more, and by doing more of that, you know, you're spending more time on what's bringing you more money, and that's totally awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, I love
it. Like, one of the big features in our book was that 80-20 rule, and once you really get it and start using it in your business. But, you know, I just to hear you say that is so accelerating to me, because I kind of been, I sort of feel flat, because it's sometimes like I forget that I want to stay in business, I want to be of service, I want to help, but, you know, I've got to bring in the money, and that seems to be like, oh, where is that? You know,
well,
I don't want to beg for that.
Well, one thing you do is, and especially with radio, and you have a book. So for you guys, and you've been, I guess, on the area since about 5 years, and your book's doing well, so congratulations. If you were a client, now you're friends, I would advise you just continue to build your platform. And it's so much easier now with social media. You can have your Twitter account, you can have your Facebook, you can have, you know, you have a online radio station, you have a book, obviously, which is important. So I would work to really create a really large platform, or a platform that's suitable for your clients. Then from there, you start marketing to your platform, maybe another book, maybe another, you know, maybe a separate theme radio station, maybe a spin-off show, maybe, you know, if you're really popular, you know, hats and shirts, whatever your endeavor is for your brand. And then lastly, the most critical point is hit critical mass, and that's when you explode. So you just got to decide what vertical you want to sell into, and then just create your platform. And I'm telling you, you already have a great platform to begin with, so you guys are, like, doing great. Now it's just a matter of marketing the right product into that platform. Like, for us, we realized people didn't want to buy 200 books from us, but they were willing to spend that same exact money to buy a website. So for us, we decided to, you know, create a platform, but market differently to that platform. Then once you have that platform, then you set yourself up to explode. So
that's awesome. You know, we would love to have your feedback on this, but just like next month, we're doing the clutter. We don't know really what to call it, but we're calling it the Clutterfly Effect membership site. You know, and so people can, and it's very, very low cost, but, you know, we'll get a module of, training for goals, and then we're going to do an intention work and things like that. But far, we're just kind of, you know, putting our toe in the water, and it feels pretty good. But it doesn't feel like, what was that word that you used when you hit? Oh, critical mass. I love that word. You know, I mean,
that's the least action required to hit to the next level. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you guys are about to launch a site that's going to provide, you know, various services, various levels to people, and it's going to be a membership model, correct?
Right.
Okay. So what's really hot right now, and maybe we could always talk offline as well, is something like that is content is king. And the internet and Google, which pretty much owns the world at this point, looks for great content. And unless you buy your way through pay-per-clicks, you get to the top organically by having great content. The same works in the membership space. So what you would do is you would set up what is called a freemium site. A freemium is basically you would have, you know, gold, silver, and platinum. And then the gold is free. You know, they kind of get, you show them a little leg, you show them some resources, you show them kind of what you do. You make it enough so they really kind of buy into the system. And then for nominal amounts for gold and for silver and platinum, they could pay a monthly, or if they could save some money, buy it for the year, and then go ahead and get to the different levels. And you'll find out that it'll probably be 90% free, you know, 5% middle and 5% premium. And then over time, as your content gets rich and you establish a brand, then you might see 75% free and 25%, but you keep building till it gets to a point where people really start paying for your service. So that's just about content and having really rich content that people want to get their hands into. I just got upgraded. I really like to look at websites, and I saw this site that gave me free, three free tries a day to see websites and really what makes them tick, essentially. And I got annoyed that I could only do three, so I kept maxing out. So I decided to sign up for the $79 a month, and now I can't get off the friggin' thing. So my point being is, give enough content to, give enough content to make it rich, and then people say, you know what, maybe I get, two articles a month, and I really wanted to see a third, but you know what, it's worth it for the $15.95 or whatever you're going to be willing to charge.
Yes.
So that's called the freemium service, where you kind of, draw them in.
And I love your word. I love that
secret
word, freemium. And we do have that, because in our book, we peppered our book with, hey, get this, go to, theclutterflyeffect.com and get this for free and this for free, join that part of the membership site.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to be just launching, and it's just going to be $19.95. And but for the first brief 3 months, we're going to be offering a really good bonus with that would normally, add another $10 to it. So, I mean, we feel really excited about it, but should we be doing, I hate to ask you this, I feel like, but you're like a busman's holiday, but, do you think that we should be doing like JVs with this so that, we can, or do you think,
again, content is critical. And let's just say, just sake of argument, you decide to bring somebody in to be a guest blogger or a guest speaker or just give any type of information that you would consider to be a premium service. So the lower end service would be the general content. But if you want to, jump off the $19.95, then you can go ahead and say, hey, if you want to hear somebody like me or somebody who would be relevant to your space that would provide motivation or provide your goal, then they can get access to the premium bloggers. The problem with the internet, everything is free. Everything is free.
Yeah.
You can get anything for free now. So you really have to generate not just content, but premium content that people can be willing to pay for. So if you were to do any JVs, you want to ensure that they would provide premium content to help you get to the point. Think about the Huffington Post. It's free. If they even did an analysis once. They said if Facebook charged $5 a month, how many of you would still keep using it? Like 70% said no. So the truth is, you might want to look at your model too. You might maybe charge a little lower end of a monthly or charge to get in. And then build that network, right, that we talked about, or that platform,
yes,
and then charge advertisers to get access to your platform. Because you're going to have, I'm assuming, a really strong platform. You're going to have, obviously, if it's the same genre here, you're going to have women, and women represent a large majority of the purchasing for households. They're the head of many households, and they have a ton of purchasing power. And the truth is, frankly, people are going to want to get access to your clients.
Our lovelies, they also want to have extra income. They like to do some things at home or have that kind of thing. And also what's cool is, I know it sounds trite, but what we've kind of created is like a family, where everybody feels comfortable, being with us. Like people said, oh, let's go on a cruise together or do something, fun where we can all sort of be together. And we have a lot of women go, my mom's no longer here, but I love your relationship. And so we have, it feels like it's very intimate, the people that we have. I guess you're calling them our platform.
I think, too, Mom, I think what's so great is that for all the lovelies out there, you can hear what's so important, because content is everything, and even in our own lives. And if you don't have the passion and motivation behind what you do, it's hard to put good content out there, because you're gonna probably run out of steam fast in some sense.
Well, and the other thing is, you don't want to give stuff away free too much either, because free is cheap in many people's eyes, and free.
I agree with you.
And free can soil a brand. So when we first launched our book, and obviously, you know, you guys launched the book as well, so you're very eager to give it to family and friends, and you want to, you know, show everybody and kind of get the word out there. Just a long story short, we didn't get our, we self-published, and which we were happy about, actually. And we didn't get our, we didn't get our copies in, our author copies in. They were delayed. It got to Amazon first. It was like print on demand. So like Amazon, I bought my book first before I got it from our printed publisher. So yeah, which you guys can relate to. So it wasn't about being cheap. It just was a function we didn't have them. So what happened was, when my mother and my sisters and everybody else asked for the book, they were really excited. And I'm like, hey, we don't have it. You know, we're not being cheap. We just don't have them yet. So, you know, it was $10 on Amazon, $15 retail, essentially. And they bought it. And everybody bought it. They said, no, we can't wait. And we were excited. And essentially, we got to the number one in its, you know, category at launch, in the sales and selling category, which is very competitive, at launch for 30 days and 90 days on Amazon, which you guys know is really competitive. And it was a function of the environment. So then from that point, we realized when we did get our author copies in, we said to ourselves, unless it's a donation or a marketing circumstance that goes on to something bigger, we had a no-giveaway book policy. We weren't giving books away, because the more we were getting it, and then we loosened up a little bit after the first, you know, 4 or 5 months of launch and everything else, and then we started giving the books away. Then I noticed people started seeing it as, like, they weren't reading it, and they were, like, putting it on a coffee table as a coaster. So then we went back to a no-giveaway policy. Because if you respect what you have and you don't give it away, you're going to be able to charge more for it, because you're going to see that passion that you have in your product.
Beautiful. I love that, because, I mean, you're talking about this, you're so on the spot and on target, because you're talking about this passion and not giving it away, and then at the baseline there's this respect for what you have, you know. And I think that's the most, it's like, you, it's almost like having to straddle that fence to respect what you have and know that, you know, it's worth something. And I know that, you know, I want to, you know, feel a part of something on the Internet, you know. And you're right, there is, like, if somebody gives it away too much for free, you lose that respect.
Absolutely. And always make sure you get your message out. So, and I'm very transparent. I just recently had an experience where we have kind of, not, it's in the works, so it's nothing definite, but we have something in the works called The Rainmaker, and it's actually kind of a quasi-reality show documentary where me and my team go in and turn around businesses and really help people that are on the brink of folding and turning around their lives, because they have done this in real life. So we decided to do crowdfunding and crowdsourcing. You guys might want to look into that as well. There's Kickstarter, there's Indiegogo. So the concept is simple. Rather than go to your uncle and ask them for $50,000, go to 1,000 people and ask them for $50. It's much easier. So I did crowdfunding, and I raised probably about 25% of my goal. Now, the reason why I didn't raise 100% of my goal, in retrospect, I didn't get the message out. They're looking at me saying, Tom, you're successful. Why are you asking us for money? Why do you need money? Why don't you just pay for yourself? Well, number one is, I was going to pay for myself for the most part, but I wanted to raise money because, you guys know, nothing's free. So I wanted to people get the filming paid for so I can help these businesses help themselves. So, you know, I get at least something to, you know, at least pick up the filming so I can get the reality show picked up so I can help these people out. And then people that are in need of help can watch a show and they can better their own lives. Because, you know, think about it. You have a business. You employ people. These are jobs. These are people's livelihoods. And it's a segment of the population we never talk about. I'm not saying, woe is me, I have a business. I'm saying, woe is me, some people are going out of business. We need to help. And this is the backbone of this country. So where I failed was I didn't get the message out about how people needed somebody like me to help them. I should have had the businesses on there saying, hey, guys, I almost lost my business, but Tom turned it around. So my it's funny because I consult all the time, but my feeling was I didn't get the true message out. So when you start this new endeavor, which you look like you're embarking already, find out what the true message is. And if you get that true message out and people are responsive to it, you guys are going to succeed. Now, if it's not successful and you get the message out, you just need a larger audience or medium to get it out to. And that's where digital marketing comes in. Everything is online anyway, and it's a lot easier and lower barriers to entry to get things off the ground.
Well, and Julie, do you know what Tom means when he says digital marketing?
Like internet, I'm believing
yeah.
it, do you mean? Everything well, online is
well, essentially Google, but yeah.
Google, like,
right.
Not Bing yet, but Google.
Yeah.
You know,
this is so awesome.
Yeah, it is. And Tom, I want to ask you a question.
This is going to be like our, this is going to be our most.
I feel good just hanging out with you guys, chatting on the phone. You know.
Yes.
So,
you know, but I want to ask you, Mr. Thomas, about you. I mean, when's the last time you had a 4-hour work week?
This is our favorite question.
Had a what work week?
A 4-hour work week. I love Tim Ferriss.
That's another fallacy. I mean, you know, that's. I'd be lucky if I had a 4-hour Sunday. So,
exactly.
That being said, now it's just, you know, listen, you got to work hard at it. And the truth is, you know, for you guys, and, you know, I always say you want to own the casinos, not playing them. So if you can create your own platform, which I, right now, although I'm still renting and playing the casinos because I'm building up certain platforms. But eventually I want my own platform for you to go into and make your business better. Like, you're going to have a platform for your people. So to get to that 4-hour work week is when you have the platform, you hit that critical mass, you were successful, and then you either sell it off or you have somebody run it with you. So I'll get there eventually, but for now, yeah, I'd be lucky to have a 4-hour work Sunday. Sunday so.
Well, that's what I just was hearing someone yesterday on the radio, and she was saying most professional, successful bloggers who are able to make a living off of it are working 6 or 7 hours a day. So, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just not meeting these people who are successful working 4 hours a day, 4 hours a week, or 4 hours a day. But what I love about you, Tom, because you are not afraid to tell the truth about what it's like to be a success.
Right.
Oprah was, you know, we all know Oprah and her challenges with her new network. That, you know, that first year that she had, she was like surprised, like, holy cow. This did not turn out to be a huge success right off the bat.
What? And, something Oprah had not successful?
Exactly.
That's exactly right, yeah.
But this idea that you're not failing, you just have to keep tweaking your way there. You know,
right.
Tom, you know your 5-year plan. You know you're going to get to where you want to go. And you're just like, okay, where is the money at? Where is my passion at? Let's keep working towards it. And so you, my man, are awesome. And I just want to say thank you for being so cool and really sharing it, what it's really about out there in the world. It isn't that easy. It requires work and passion and motivation and so forth and marketing and sales techniques,
mm-hmm.
which I love.
You know, I want to ask a cool question. I'm trying to put it together here. So I'm not going to say you, but what if somebody you love came to you and said, I want to have a good life, you know, maybe they're in their 20s, and I'm talented, I've got passion, but where should I direct it to? Would you say something like network marketing? I mean, where would you tell somebody
that
you cared about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had a question the other day at a children's birthday party. Another parent came up to me. I would just say, if you're looking to make, you know, some money, and, you know, some people, and it's okay, and my family's from Europe, so the you know, some people, you know, work to live, and some people live to work, but, you know, you want to work to live, like a European, if possible. And with that being said, you know, there's multi-level. Multi-level marketing gets a bad rap. It's just a different medium, and maybe some verticals didn't do it correctly, but multi-level marketing is a fantastic way to maybe work, make a good living, mm-hmm. maybe make some side income, maybe make full-time income without having to kill yourself.
That's exactly how I feel.
Is fantastic. You know, if you have
exactly
a subway or something like that, you can always have somebody run it for you if they're trustworthy, and it's hard, people hard to find. But with franchises, they're a little bit more easier to control. Because it is a system. So, you know, franchises and multi-level marketing is a great way to start out.
Oh, thank you for being honest about that. I just want to tell everybody, too, Thomas's book, The X Factor Selling System. You can get it on Amazon, The Sales Expert's Guide to Selling. And, Thomas, where is your website at, too? I know it is thesalesexpertusa.com. You can go on his site.
thesalesexpertusa.com, and your folks can follow me on Twitter at The Sales Expert.
Oh, The Sales Expert.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I love your website because I love it, too, because you had a big red carpet event for your release of the X Factor Selling System book. I thought that was so much fun.
I bet it was fun.
We had some cool people attend. Mickey Ward actually came in from Florida, who was the inspiration for The Fighter, played by Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And we had a whole bunch of other cool people there as well.
Oh,
were you
damn,
able to...
I want to be with the cool people, Thomas.
I mean, one of my goals is to walk on
the
red carpet.
Launch, so where are you going to be out of? Chicago?
Oh, we're in Chicago. We're near Chicago. We're like in the middle of a cornfield, about 100 miles
west of
Chicago. I'm up because I did do some radio in Chicago. I was, I believe, WGN. Is that what the big
one
is? Yeah, so I did some radio in Chicago, and I was very fortunate to have some experience.
GN
that way.
Is
but,
like, Chicago's
a great
GN is like powerhouse.
Yeah, they're strong.
They're strong.
So I was very happy to be on it.
Yes, you should.
You should be.
And
yes.
You know what? They were lucky. They were lucky to have you.
That's right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And this is a great medium, just to chat and share ideas. And like I said, listen, you get one life. We have to help each other out while we progress through that life. And why make it? Let's make it easier rather than harder.
That's exactly right. I know at the beginning of the year, we were, because we love interviewing authors and there are kind of people, and we just decided that we would just, how can we help you? What is your dream? How can we help you? And it's just been leading us to some amazing places, and we're very simpatico. We have a lot of similar ideas, and if you ever, we want to be able to help you so much.
Absolutely. I'm going to be emailing you about 5 minutes after the show. Don't worry. I really like you guys, and a lot of it's about chemistry too. This is very rare for me, but I was in a very prestigious physician's office on the Upper East Side in Manhattan, and you literally walk out, and the Met is right there. So you're talking some flexibility. And we wanted to sign this individual as a client, and just was asked to do some unethical things, and just it wasn't consistent, again, or congruent with where we want to go with our business. And trust me, I'm not in the business of turning away customers, but I politely excused myself halfway during the sales call and left. So sometimes you say no because there's not chemistry. With you guys, I feel some chemistry, so I'd like to keep in touch.
Definitely. So as we're getting kind of close to the end of our show, I want to ask you, Thomas, what is the best advice you ever got from someone?
The best advice that I ever got someone is you get two things you never get back. Number one is a spoken word, so be careful of what you say. Number two is missed opportunity. So just be careful what you say, and when opportunity knocks, make sure you're there to answer.
When opportunity knocks, be sure you are ready to answer. Sometimes you want to answer, but you haven't been, you're kind of rusty or whatever. You got to keep your chops sharp, And you're right about the spoken word. So many times, you just can't take it back. It's already been said.
Absolutely.
And so, Thomas, if any of our lovelies out there want to get a hold of you for any of your services, not just to buy your book, which you can buy on Amazon, it's also in the Kindle form. Oh, I also wanted to ask you this. Your book is also an audio. Did you do the speaking of your book? Are you the author in that?
No, it's interesting. So my 3-year-old daughter, we played the book when it came in. We hired an actor actually to do it because I just did not want to hear myself talk for 4 hours to be candid. So I think I have a decent radio voice, but not great. So we did hire an actor for that, and then my 3-year-old daughter picked up it and said, "Hey, why is Daddy not on the CD?" So, to the detriment of my daughter's feelings, who was upset Daddy wasn't on the CD, we decided to outsource at least the reading of the book.
So the next time,
I can
send
an email to your crew as well. It's tom at thesalesexpertusa.com, or they can go to the website. Either way, we're here, we're available, and if anybody has any, we love comments, questions, concerns.
You bet.
People get asked for advice all the time. We'll be happy to give it to them and help them achieve their goals.
And also, too, I kind of see, you know, I'm an intuitive from way back. I like this feeling about the Rainmaker thing, Tom. I think it's got some
legs here. It's my passion, and it's actually a good thing that there's a show on CNBC called The Prophet, and it's similar because he has three P's versus my four. But I copyrighted mine a while ago, and he probably has his way of doing things. So it is coincidence. Mm-hmm. But the genre is similar. He gives his own money out. Mine's a bit more Oprah-y or Oprah-ish, if you will, where we would go in and actually go in and really turn around people's lives and not have any expectation in return. So I'm not saying it's altruistic in a sense, because we probably get some decent PR out of it, but it is altruistic, where I love to help people, and I really would like to help people and their businesses. If I could just, you know, do it in a proper medium where it could be exponential for others, you know, we're hoping to get there. So we did raise some money. We're going to do a sizzle reel. We do have production lined up, and it's an exciting opportunity. So,
and can people still go to what, Indiegogo and
campaign is finished. But if somebody is interested in contributing, I would, you know, again, we weren't giving away, we weren't just asking for money at each of the levels. We were giving away like a book or a talk or, you know, with the different levels, we would give stuff out. So if somebody wants to use a service for us in exchange to contribute, I would gladly provide whatever service they needed for whatever level and continue if they want to contact us directly.
Understood.
Very cool.
Yes.
Yeah, I love what you were giving away on your Indiegogo campaign. And you know, you put yourself out there. And that's the thing. Everyone, all the lovelies out there, put yourself out there. See what happens. I remember this one mentor of mine said, you know, Julie, you're going to have to ask for that sale 100 times. And then you know what's going to happen after that 100 times? You're going to ask for that another sale another 100 times. You just can't get away from not asking. So,
absolutely.
You talk about being the guru of sales, and I think you are sales guru, Thomas LaVecchia, and I just say thank you for being on Life with a Girl Fins tonight. Any parting words for our lovelies?
It was just an honor to be here, and like I said, it just follow your passion, your dreams, work your butt off to do it, and you'll achieve your goals. And like I said, truly honored to be here, and if anyone wants to reach out, the Sales Expert USA, or at Twitter, at the Sales Expert, and I'm here to assist any and all.
Oh, thank you so much, Thomas. It's truly been a pleasure, and I have a feeling this is going to be one of our biggest shows ever.
Have a great night.
Thank you, Thomas.
Awesome. Hey, Mama, that was awesome.
That was really awesome.
Well, you know,
I can just feel our lovelies, you know, going, oh, my God, I can't wait to just, you know, start achieving my goals, get, you know, dusting off those old dreams and getting back and believing in myself, you know?
Well, yeah, it's sort of like, I like what you said, you know your desired goal.
Yes.
Take
DG, your desired goal.
Your CA, your constant action.
Yep.
Or congruent action.
Congruent.
Yes. And then EA. Excellent, always.
Yes.
Now, I will have to say, you have pointed out to me on a few occasions, my excellent can vary sometimes.
oh, Mama did that to you.
Mama, you know, Julie, I don't know what's been going on with you, but your excellent is not excellent anymore. I'm like, you know what, I think my vitamin D level is down.
That's right.
My iron's down. My period. I'm crabby. I'm
the
tired.
The stars are not aligned.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Whatever my
know.
Excuse is. I remember this one woman who was talking about The Four Agreements. We talked about that book by
Don Miguel Ruiz.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she said, you know, do your best. And sometimes my best is different. Sometimes my best is just barely getting out of bed. I'm like, girlfriend, I know that. I know what that feels like.
I think I heard Oprah say that one time.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for Julie.
Exactly. So sometimes you're excellent. I'm working on being excellent more often, 80% of the time.
Well, I hope people go and get his book, X Factor Selling System.
Yes.
And, you know, we can all, like you said, everything is sales.
It is.
You know, and here I am, you know, I have my you know, bachelor's in psychology and psychotherapy, and you realize it really is, you know, about, ultimately, it's about sales.
Hey, your master's in, what is your master's in, Mama? You said that.
Oh, I said, oh, in psychotherapy.
Oh, and I think we're going out of time.
Okay.
And, you know, as we leave the show tonight, thank you so much for being on Life of the Girlfriends, listening to Life of the Girlfriends. What a great show you've had. You can go see us on thecutterflyeffect.com and Twitter page, Prosperity Geo. Have a wonderful week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.